the best in the world.
I've been the best ever since day one. On this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. And trust me when I tell you, I am the hottest property in this industry today. Nobody can touch me. The only thing that's real is me, day in and day out. I am the best in the world. Do I have everybody's attention now?
The life of a fool, stunned to groove willingly in the quest to be cool. Took into my 42, discovered the jewels on my Johnny Knoxville, stubborn as Mew. Banged my head on the water, made it a brick. There was a Donny Ooh dude, he was sort of a dick. Now I'm kinda glad he no longer exists. Made room for Mike's death, no gimmicks or tricks. Air smell fresher, walk with no pressure. Changes in my life, all for the better. This reality, too old for the meta. X marked the spot, made of a different texture. This reality, too old for the meta. X marked the spot, made of a different texture. All because Donny Ooh's dead doesn't mean that I ain't nice with this rap shit. Sometimes I gotta give a little reminder just to let the world know who the hell I be. Mike Steph. Goodbye.
Months and counting, the Lord should keep a mountain. The adversity I faced made me wonder what I'm rounding. Keep climbing a mountain, but haven't reached my peak. Sneak into my final form, should be ready in a week. The longer am I weak, stronger than I ever was. Even though I'm on some meds, I finally got a natural buzz. When 30 over 85, my heart is under pressure, blood. No matter what the verdict, only God can be my only judge. I remember that one night in December, had the sweats and the twitches, the beginning of a bender. Didn't heat the side, but it changed my life forever. Had the Lexi mixed with Animal, no matter the was seven. I'm followed by the spirit while I'm haunted by genetics. My past inhibitions made me act pathetic. All the forced rhetoric came to a settlement. Fork in the road made my pain start kettling. Lack of vision started impacting decisions. Out of my 9 lives, half of them were finished. Thought I lived righteous lives covered up the sinning. Took the sunshine for granted. Thought stagnation was me winning. Who the hell I'm kidding? Made a daily habit bending. My reality of my life, fences needed mending. Until the handiwork was done, progress stuck impending. Until the handiwork was done, progress stuck impending. What up, people? What up, people? Welcome to a very special edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, featuring the one and only Mike Steph, best in the world at what he does. Yeah, man. How's everyone doing? Y'all can see by this big ass smile on my face, I'm doing great. I'm doing phenomenal. Dare I say, I'm doing excellent. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And there's one reason. Matter of fact, there's a myriad of reasons of why I'm wearing this t-shirt right now. First and foremost, it's a t-shirt that my lovely wife, Mrs. Ooh, bestowed upon me to let the world know of what I specialize in. I specialize in excellence. Also, it would not be a podcast episode if I didn't have a subtitle. Mike Steph, the excellence of elocution. Yes, indeed. I'm the best in the world at what I do. I'm the best ever. Best that ever did it. Best that ever do it. And the best that does it currently. Yes, I am. But there is one reason and one reason above everything else of why I'm in such a great mood. And that's because my New York Jets have shocked the world. Well, the world outside of my humble abode here, the world outside of number one Jets fan extraordinaire, Mike Steph. The Jets, the New York Jets beat the Philadelphia Eagles today. The New York Jets, the Jets beat, dare I say, millions and millions of Jet detractors. I saw on social media what they were saying. I saw all the Philadelphia Eagles fans up in their feelings. In 5 minutes and 27 seconds, intro. I saw what's going on in the atmosphere. I saw fear. Not only did I see that, I saw Jet Nation rise to the occasion, the Jets defense rise to the occasion, and tell all those jabronis to know their role and shut their mouth. Yes, yes. It is a joyous occasion. You know why it's a joyous occasion? For various reasons. Personal to me. It's a joyous occasion because I can talk my shit for not 1 week, but 2 weeks consecutive. Because the Jets have a bye week next week. Also, matter of fact, I'm going to get into the rundown of what to expect on this edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph. To be blunt, it's going to be a one-topic episode, a one-topic edition. Thanks to the New York Jets winning 20-14 at home at MetLife Stadium, I would eschew what I was going to talk about because I was like, you know, if Jets don't handle their business, I'm not going to be talking for 45 minutes to an hour about how we're going. This is bye week with all the down talk, all the negativity or whatever might have happened in a loss. But guess what? I don't have to do that. But I did have something on tap that being the fact that I'm such in a great mood, I don't want to get into that. I was going to talk about Jada Pinkett and her promo tour and her shit, for lack of a better word, or lack of a better phrase, continuing to throw dirt on the grave of Will Smith, continuing to
put him on a path to the nut house. Or shoot, dare I say, putting him on the watch, if you know what I'm talking about. But I would say that for next week, because at this point in time, the way things was going this week, every other day, you had new information, new bullshit that Jada Pinkett was spewing out her fucking spout about her spouse. Yes, legally, still her spouse. All for a freaking book. But like I said, since there's a bye week next week, and I get to live in the lap of luxury, what should I say? I get to, we fly, no lie, we rolling, rolling. All right, you got, we blowing. Since I get to fly high for 2 weeks, there's no reason to start the negativity. So, yeah, we're going to talk about the New York Jets and their victory, their victorious game at MetLife Stadium against the Eagles. And I will try to get a little bit in depth in what I saw with my own two eyes, what I believe that we can use as a springboard into the second half of the season, and just me just doing the, not the walk of shame, but walking down the Hall of Fame. So yeah, that's what's going to be on deck this week. And I will have a couple words to say on the Sunday night game, which was the New York Giants, in excruciating fashion to a certain degree. They lost against the Buffalo Bills in a game that they had they had a couple opportunities to win. And tell you the truth, Giants Nation, the G-Men, have a lot of gripes that they should have toward the officiating, especially on that last play of the game, which there was a clear pull and tug of the jersey that was not called. And perhaps if they would have got an extra play, they could have put the Bills out their misery, because the Bills played a miserable game. But the reason the Bills played a miserable game was due to the Giants' defensive excellence. There's that word again, excellence. So yeah, that's what's on deck this week. Before I get this show on the road, there's a couple things that I want to talk about. Matter of fact, not talk about, but just mention. First and foremost, this week was a week of birthdays. As I mentioned last week, as I straighten up my trusty-ass picture, as I mentioned last week, Main Event K, my youngest child, my youngest daughter, Michaela, it was her birthday this past Monday, and we went out to eat. She likes pasta, so we went to Carmine's in the city, on the Upper West Side, and we had a great time. Not only did we have a great time, we had a very, very blessed dinner, blessed outing, for numerous reasons. First, because we're healthy and we're able to do that as a family. Well, at least the family that was available that wasn't at work. But also, something that's never happened to me per se. So we sit down and, you know, we're just, you know, gathering our thoughts on what we're going to order, whatever. And there was a couple next to us. And I heard them gripe a little bit, but that's neither here nor there. And when they was leaving, they stopped to it. They came to our table because it was like pretty much right adjacent to us. They came to our table and they gave us a card and said, listen, you know, somebody gave this to us. We don't live in the city. So, you know, which card? We're going to give it to y'all, you know, because we don't live in the city, so we're not going to have an opportunity to use it again. Don't let them fool you. There's at least $400 on the card. And we're like, wow, this is just like, this is amazing. You know, it's our daughter's birthday. She's like, well, happy birthday. you know, and that's something that had never happened to me. So pretty much the birthday dinner was on the house, so to speak. I was actually tearing up because, like I said, I'm the type of individual that I never expect anybody to. I'm slowly trying to change, but I'm a pessimistic individual. Like, I always think the worst. So for that to happen on that day, to actually for us to experience that, it was, like I said, it was nothing short of a blessing, you know. It was just amazing. So that just put the cherry on top of everything for that day. And my daughter had a great birthday, and that just made it even greater. So yeah, so happy birthday once again to Main Event K. Yesterday, well, when y'all see this, 2 days ago, I attended the first birthday party of little cousin Kai. Yeah. So it's amazing to me because I remember, and this is like a reminder to me how old I'm getting. But I remember when little cousin Kai, when I went to his mother's first birthday party. Yeah. So for everything to come 360 degrees in rotation, and luckily it landed on a Saturday that I was off, because I'm pretty much wrapping up my vacation right now. But even so, if I wasn't on vacation, that wouldn't have been an occasion I would not have missed, you know, because his grandpapa, cousin Q, cousin K, cousin Sierra Pops, you know, I've seen them grow up. I've seen him and his brother Ice grow up, you know, and their mother, Aunt Michelle, I'm gonna throw this back at her, because she always says this phrase to me. My favorite aunt when the other aunts ain't around. you know, they've always, I've seen them grow up. Aunt Michelle's always been around. She's always been very close and near and dear to us. So like I said, to see everything going 360 degrees was just an amazing thing. So shout out to little cousin Kai, numero uno, to be exact. So yeah. So with all that being said, I think we're going to get this show on the road. Yeah, there's not going to be any witty antidotes. There's not going to be no vulgarity, at least in the intro. But there's probably be way more vulgarity as we go into this New York Jet recap. So with all that being said and done, let's get the show on the road. Good night. And goodbye. Bang! We fly. No lie. We rolling. Yeah, I know that song is like, ooh, another thing that makes me realize I'm getting old. You know, that song is almost 2 decades old. I think 17 years old to be exact. Anyway, the Jets fly high and take down Eagles. Yeah. Not only that, do you know what happened? And this is some cross promotion. This past week, on my second entity, my other entity that I'm a host of, co-host to be exact, Hidden Gems Football, the Mojo King and I reviewed this Jets-Eagles game, because on Hidden Gems Football, we review, or should I say, yeah, we preview the biggest spreads available and see if we can get some hidden gems for your pocket pleasure. And the Jets going into the recording of Hidden Gems Football were a 7-point underdog to the Philadelphia Phillies. I don't know why. You see how much respect I have for them, which is nil. Philadelphia Eagles. Remember last week, for my regulars and for the new viewers, you can refer to last week when I said what a pleasure it would be to take Nick Sirianni's face, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and take his head and actually wipe my ass crack with his face. What a wonderful, wonderful feeling, pause, that would be, because that's what we were going to do. Because he's such a, I hate him. I hate Philadelphia Eagles fans, especially on Twitter or X or whatever the fuck you want to call it. Because they have this God's gift. Like I said, matter of fact, I'm going to say this now. Philadelphia Philly, the Philadelphia Eagles, and I don't know why I keep on getting this mixed up, but whatever. The Philadelphia Eagles, the Eagles, their fan base is the worst. You want to know why their fan base is the worst? I'll tell you. Because they neglect to realize that all last season, their trip, their road to the Super Bowl was littered with teams that they beat at half strength, if that. Their road to the Super Bowl in the playoffs dealt with a scared-to-death Daniel Jones, a quarterbackless San Francisco 49ers team, and they got to the Super Bowl, and after they lost, after they had to tuck their tail between their legs and kiss their ass goodbye on their way back out of the desert, all we heard in the offseason was the turf, the turf, the turf, the turf, the turf. Never mind about the fact that you gave up damn near 50 points in the Super Bowl, that you allowed Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid to run the same play over and over and over and over and over again, and y'all couldn't stop it not once. Never mind about the fact that this Philadelphia Eagles team, the team of brotherly shove, the tush push, if you will, it's nothing but a cheat code that the rest of the league can't stand. But guess what? You know what the Jets did? I implored the Jets, if Philadelphia tried to employ the tush push, to go straight for the head, straight for the jugular, take someone out, take one for the team. But guess what? We were so nice. Philly never had a chance to even line up for a tush push. Philly got one touchdown on a reversal for a play that I still don't believe that Jalen Hurts actually crossed the goal line with none of his body touching the ground. Some bullshit. But where was I? That's right. I was talking about Hidden Gems Football. My co-host on Hidden Gems Football, the Mojo King. And I will preface this by saying that most of it is in jest. And he did reach out as soon as the clock turned triple zeros. He did reach out and congratulate me on the Jets' big win. Dare I say, historic win. So I will say that there's no hard feelings. Because look, it's a back and forth. Look, we're professionals. Dare I say, we're brethren. So, but I swear, I would be remiss if I did not bask in my glory of me being right with my bravado. And you know what? I'm going to put a clip out here of what was said on Hidden Gems Football. And then I'm going to come back and get in depth about what exactly happened today on this glorious, glorious day, glorious game, glorious victory.
Early for you, huh? You scared.
I am. Two games so far, and I'm scared of both of them.
Boo.
Hey, guess what? Not scared of this game, though.
You know, you should have saved this for last, but we'll go. Okay.
All right.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, I see that. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, the 5-0 Philadelphia Eagles are headed to New York to face the 2-3 New York Jets. The Eagles are 7-point favorites. The total is 40.5 points. That means that Vegas is saying that Philadelphia will win with 23.25 points, while the Jets will lose with 16.25 points. But injuries say that on the Philadelphia side, on Mike Steph, I got to say, I was a little surprised by the spread. I would have thought that the Eagles would actually be more than 7-point favorites. And I don't even mean to be that funny, be funny on that. Like, I'm really surprised. What do you say about this game, Mike Steph?
On the opposite end, Eagles are like undefeated. They're not only undefeated this season. Do you know that they're undefeated against the Jets? They're 12-0 in history against the Jets. Yeah, we have never beaten Philly. Now, this is where my bravado has kind of been rebuilt because, you know, we're coming off a win, albeit against Denver. But yeah, Sean Payton got exactly what he needed. He got humbled. Somebody has to take one for the team, you know. Just, I'm not saying bounty gate or something, but if he makes that head exposed, got to make him pay. Got to bring that. Yeah. Listen. Look, I can't get fined for saying that. So that's 7. Have they really covered that much this season? I mean, they won by 5 against New England. We see how New England's been. They won by 6 over Minnesota. You see how Minnesota's been. The one blowout that they had was against Tampa, and that was on a Monday night. You know, even though they beat the Rams by 9, that game was way closer than the score indicates, 23-14. Did they really blow them out? What they did was play keep away in the second half. The time of possession was lopsided in the second half, and that's how they won that game. But when the Rams was on the field, the Rams were scoring. So that's 7. I have faith in my New York Jets to keep it close. So I'm going to say the Jets are going to cover the spread. You know what? Just to cover the spread, the Jets to shock the world, because it's time. It's time. 12-0 will not be an unlucky 13. The Jets to go into the bye on a 2-game winning streak. Yes, I'm speaking with my heart, not my mind, not my gut. Just to cover the spread, Jets money line, over under. I'm going over. I mean, we scored 31 points last week. Albeit with 5 field goals. That means we got into the red zone plenty of times. So I reiterate, just to cover the spread, Jets money line, I'm going to go over because it's at home. You know what? I reserve the right to change my mind. Under. For this reason, it's supposed to be a rainstorm this weekend. Perhaps nor'easter conditions. And I think that you always benefits the underdog. So, just money line, just the cover, under. Headshots, baby!
All right, before I get into the meat of the argument, isn't it supposed to rain on Saturday, not Sunday?
Saturday and Sunday.
All right.
Going into Monday morning.
They need to be playing in a hurricane for this game to stay close. See, if I just looked at the score last week and didn't watch the game, I would think, hey, maybe the Jets could score a couple of touchdowns on offense. But I saw Zach Wilson again. And it turned out that the half that he had in the second half against Kansas City was a mirage. Not shocking to anybody. It shouldn't have been, kind of was shocking to me because I had him on my fantasy team. Let's not even talk about it right now. Putting your faith in Zach Wilson is going to automatically disappoint you. The Eagles are going to win. The Eagles are going to win by a lot. The question is that 40 and a half. I feel like the Jets defense is good enough to keep them under 30. The Jets are not scoring more than 10 points. A defense touchdown and one of your field goals. Unless, can we see a Trevor Siemian sighting? Trevor. Then we'll go over. But otherwise, Eagles -7. Lock it in. Take it as a survivor pick. We're just going to ride against the Jets pretty much the whole time. By the way, in case you were curious about me last week.
You heard the slander about, defensive touchdown and one of your field goals. Now, to be serious, if I can be serious for a minute, the Jets offense is not the reason why we won this game at all. I'm going to go down the line of stats. And there's about four unsung heroes. Yeah, I know you usually have one, but we have four. And these are the four individuals on defense that came up with a turnover on today's game. First and foremost, with the first turnover, was Quinnen Williams. Ricochet interception that set us up. And if I'm not mistaken, I think we scored 3 points off that one. Second turnover was his brother Quincy with the fumble recovery. When he tried to do a scoop and score, almost and fumbled it back, but he was able to recover. We did not score that one. The third one was Bryce Hall, who got a key interception in the second half that helped stall a drive. And last but not least, Tony Adams, safety, that had the key interception with under 2 minutes remaining in the game and put us on the precipice of the end zone with a 45-yard interception return. And allow Brees Hall in the ensuing play to go into the end zone untouched, unscathed. Yes, I know they gave it up, but whose fault is that? They were so arrogant to the end. Instead of trying to stop us and hold us to at least a field goal, they wanted to keep their timeouts because they just felt that they were going to be able to move through our defense, which stifled them where it counted all effing game. So they allowed us. They parted the line like the Red Sea, and allowed us to get a touchdown, like it was going to be easy pickings, like it was going to be straight cash, homie. Almost intercepted that fourth and long. But it was the defense. It was the defense that stepped up. A defense that was missing multiple players. Four of our top five cornerbacks were not playing in this game. Sauce Gardner with a late scratch, I think Friday afternoon, with a concussion. DJ Reed missed his second consecutive game with a concussion. Brandon Echols missed this game. Hardy was not in the lineup. Special team extraordinaire. Bryce Hall stepped up for the second consecutive week with his second consecutive week with a turnover. I don't even, you know what? Let me see if I can get his name. When I say we had also Rans and Tay Hayes. within our defensive backfield. Ashton Davis. Matter of fact, Ashton Davis had the interception, not Bryce Hall. But this is the depth that we have at our disposal. And this is a game that the game ball should go to the defense, and the game ball should go to the defensive staff, and the game ball should go to Joe Douglas. Because in order for us to have quality depth, not only quality depth, but for us to have the staff in place that Coach Robert Saleh has put in place to not only coach our team, not only to draw up plays, but to actually teach these players and insert them straight from the practice squad into the starting lineup at a moment's notice due to injury has to be applauded. Now, these stats, if you look on paper, you probably wonder, how the hell did the Jets even stay in this game? The Eagles had 24 first downs to our 17. The Eagles converted 50% on third down, 7 of 14, while we only converted 2 out of 11. And we didn't convert our first third down until midway through the third quarter, if that. Total yards, we were outgained 348 to 244. They had 10 more plays, 69 to our 59 in total plays. But here's a key stat. Jalen Hurts threw 45 times. They only ran the ball for 22 times. Conversely, we threw the ball 33 times and we ran 21. But the strength of the Philadelphia Eagles is their running game. The strength of the Philadelphia Eagles is their domineering offensive line. And to put them in passive mode, pass protect the majority of the time. Now, yes, Lane Johnson did go down in the first quarter with an injury. But you know how many injuries we had on our offensive line? Joe Tippmann only played the first couple plays of the game before he was out with a thigh contusion. We had we had backups all up and down our offensive line. We were sacked 5 times, but we got to Jalen Hurts twice, and we put him under duress plenty of times in the second half. We outscored the Eagles in the second half 11 to zip. Sometimes, and they said it's always sunny in Philadelphia. Who the fuck lied to them? Danny DeVito ain't walking through that door. No time soon. No. But the biggest stat of the game, 4-0. 4 turnovers for the Eagles, 0 for the Jets. Zach Wilson, in his second consecutive game, failed to turn the ball over. Now, is this sustainable? Perhaps, just perhaps. This was Zach Wilson's line. 19 to 33, 57% passing, 186 yards in the air. Breece Hall had 12 rushing for 39 yards, but that was going against the number one rushing defense in the league. Garrett Wilson, 8 catches, 90 yards. We employed Breece Hall out the backfield as a receiver more this game than we've done for the entire year combined, might as well say. That is due to the exquisite game plan by Coach Hackett, offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, because he knew that combination of us being weak on the offensive line with backups and the fact that we were going against the number one rushing defense in the league to get one of our playmakers in space was the number one top priority. And we couldn't just air it out and just throw it to Garrett Wilson down the field all the time, because you was going to put too much pressure on the offensive line on the pass protection, which they did hold up a lot. Some of those sacks, let's say out of those five sacks, 2.5 of those sacks was on Zach Wilson. But you had to put our best players in space. Breece Hall is one of our best, matter of fact, yeah, is one of our best players on offense, one of our playmakers on offense. We had a Xavier Gibson sighting in the backfield with the end around. Only one time for 18 yards, but that was a dynamic that anytime he was on the field, once they ran that play, you had to keep an eye on Gibson, because Gibson can break it. And he almost broke it that play. Dalvin Cook is Dalvin Cook. And Zach Wilson, to his credit, he was very mobile. At times, when he saw there was an opportunity to try to get some yards with his legs, he did so. He's impressing me with his progression. Now, I know that's something you would say, third-year quarterback, number two overall draft pick 3 years ago. He's impressing you with his progress, incremental progress? Yes, because as long as he makes incremental steps and keeps from being the GOAT, meaning the scapegoat on the offense, it galvanizes that team. That team has been rallying around him since first game of the season, once Aaron Rodgers went down. And on the Aaron Rodgers front, Aaron Rodgers on the sideline, Aaron Rodgers was throwing passes during the pregame. Aaron Rodgers was walking without a noticeable limp, without crutches, without a boot on. Aaron Rodgers, I'm not going to say that Aaron Rodgers should come back this season, as much as he would love to. And one of the worrying quotes, I will say, came in the post-game press conference when asked, was there any protocols, was there any hurdles that Aaron Rodgers had to clear in order to be cleared to be on the sideline? Coach Sala said, that was Aaron's call. Aaron went to be on the sideline, so he was on the sideline. I'm like, I get it, but what a catastrophe it would be, and I shouldn't even bring this up, but what a catastrophe would be if there was a freak accident, such as the freak accident that happened four plays into our season. If he gets rolled up on the sideline and that puts his progress back. That's even more the reason why, I tell you the truth, I really don't want him to come back this season. Because personally, I feel like this. We are potentially... Well, I believe we're going to make the playoffs. And unless, I mean, there's no guarantee, but unless you can tell me that you put Aaron Rodgers behind center less than 4 months after he tears his Achilles, after he has surgery on his Achilles tendon, unless you can give me 90% or even 95% rate that, number one, he will not re-injure said Achilles, and number two, it's almost a lock for us to get to the championship game, dare I say the Super Bowl, with Aaron Rodgers behind center, I don't know if the risk is worth the potential reward. And this is not me caping for Zach Wilson. This is not me saying that Zach Wilson can get us to the Super Bowl. But if our defense continues to play the way it played, it's been playing, and if Zach Wilson continues to play mistake-free football and still continue to make incremental progress, And if Breece Hall continues to round in the form and they continue to feed Breece, even though there was times in this game that was pissing me off, because I'm like, why are you not running the ball? But when it comes to the game plan, I really can't gripe so much because it kept the Eagles off balance by throwing on first down, by throwing on second down even, and mixing in the running backs in the flat, mixing in the short passing game, and not overloading Breece to just run into a wall. Even though in the third and fourth quarter, you could tell Breece was, he was close to breaking one. He was close to breaking one. But if our defense continues to play like it's playing, now when we get DJ Reed back and when we get Sauce Gardner back, our defense is just going to be that much better. Because, yes, this was a weekend of upsets. The 49ers lost against the Browns and their third-string quarterback, P.J. Walker, also at home. So there are no more undefeated teams. And some would say that the Eagles had this coming weeks ago. As I said in the clip, had they really blown anybody out? They got by because the teams that they played did not have the defense such as the JET and Jets. They were able to get by the New England Patriots before we realized the Patriots suck. Yeah, I know they beat us, so what? They were able to get by the Washington Commanders, but they gave up 31 points. They were able to get by the LA Rams with a hobble, Matthew Stafford. But they were not able to get by my New York JET and Jets. Plus, it was just, I don't really want to chalk it up to just lower averages. But do you think they were going to stay undefeated against Gangrene for the rest of fucking eternity? No, that wasn't going to happen. Just so happened it was Friday the 13th this past Friday. Did you think that was going to coincide with us losing the 13th straight in history against the Philadelphia Eagles? That wasn't going to happen. This is a new era. Yes, I'm going to talk my shit for the next 2 weeks. Our next game is at MetLife Stadium, albeit it is a road game, against the New York Football Giants, the G-Men. And in years past, this would be 2 weeks of me talking mucho crap. Unfortunately, Unfortunately, this is not going to be a joyous occasion for yours truly. Am I going to root for my team? You're damn right I'm going to root for my team. But I'm not going to be able to bask in my glory as much as I would love to in the lead up to this, because this would be a reminder of a missed loved one. And I don't want to renege on anything that I've said about any slander toward Big Blue. But when it comes to just touting the excellence, there's that word again, of my New York JET at Jets, you best believe I'm going to be talking mucho shit for the next 2 weeks, because we're on a two-game winning streak, baby. And not only are we on a two-game winning streak, who would have thought? Flashback to about 8:30 p.m. September 11th. And they carried or they helped Aaron Rodgers go into that blue tent. And they helped him into, and they had to cart him off the field. Who would have thought back then that we would go into the bye week 3-3? A lot of people wouldn't. A lot of people would not have thought that. And for that, yeah, you, for the listeners that have not seen this on video, that is my meme of Zach Wilson telling all the haters to suck his dick. And he's throwing suck his dick balls all throughout MetLife Stadium. Yes. I'm sorry. I had to get a little vulgar. Hopefully none of my younger listeners are watching or listening. Just press play and I'll put it on mute and get Mike Steph's numbers up. And that's all I asked for. You know, because this is not even TV-14. This is more like rated R. Yeah, so the Jets fly high and take down the Eagles. Man, who would have thought that would be the case? This guy right here. Who thought it was going to be more like the majority of people in football land? You. Using the Eagles as your survivor pick.
Oh, my one survivor pick?
Yeah, your survivor pick.
All right. So, first of all, I have multiple survivors. Okay? I have multiple.
How convenient.
So listen. So, we're not recording a Thursday night game. Thursday night is getting some of them because the Chiefs are playing. The Buffalo, I believe my main selection was Buffalo only because I picked Philadelphia in a separate week.
But isn't that Philadelphia, special?
But Philadelphia is getting many of my multiple picks. So it's going Buffalo, Philadelphia, Kansas City.
And I need to kick him out the state of New York. Fearing with that opinion. He bet against the New York Jets. And he bet against the New York Giants. Yeah, I cut it off in a very opportune time, because the reason he bet against the New York Giants was to actually bet for, or yeah, you're going to put money on, or Rager on, whatever you want to call it, Survivor, on the Buffalo Bills. And Buffalo technically is part of New York. So give him a reprieve. Just out the five boroughs. I know once he sees this, I'm going to get my get back on this week's edition of Hidden Gems Football. Before we get into that, I figure, you know what? Let's have an impromptu segment of, whoa, it's only smoke and mirrors. Whoa, it's only smoke and mirrors tonight. Yes, this week on Smoke and Mirrors, Mike Steph, as you can tell, or maybe you can, let me get close up for you. You see, Mike Steph. Oh, no. We should not be showing the baldness up there. Mike Steph has a fresh cut. And Mike Steph is matching. Yes. One of the dashing ones. Go-tos. Or matter of fact, should I say, the dashing one, favorite color, is actually in this shirt. My favorite color is green, partially because of my gang green. And my other favorite color is blue, because I am true blue when it comes to you know who. And that's my baby boo, Mrs. Ooh. Ah, you like that little freestyle, right? Yeah, I know. It was corny. So what? Anyway, the dashing one tip of the week is this. When you're deciding to get your fresh cut, especially on the weekend, what you should do is actually get up early in the morning so you can be numero uno on your barbers of choices list. But no. You know what the dashing one did? The dashing one waited until 2 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon, albeit it was a soak. It was a soak-drenched, rain-drenched Saturday afternoon. The dashing one decided to go to the barbershop then because the dashing one thought he was going to just waltz his ass straight into the chair. Oh, was the dashing one mistaken? Do you know that it took the dashing one over an hour and change to get seen for me to put this luxurious, this simply ravishing body inside the barber's chair and give the Dominican barber of my choice the pleasure of cutting the dashing one's beard, the pleasure of massaging the dashing one's scalp, the pleasure of being in the dashing one's presence? But when everything was all said and done, the dashing one put his hat back on, walked out that door, walked back into the welcoming arms of Mrs. Ooh, and Mrs. Ooh oohed all over the dashing one's kept up look. Yeah. But Stone Cold, stunning Stone Cold Mike Steph must always coordinate. The green goes with the green. The blue goes with the blue. And the black, well, black matches everything. Yeah. So that's my little impromptu smoke and mirrors.
It's only smoke and mirrors. Whoa! It's only smoke and mirrors tonight. Yes.
If you couldn't tell, there is one thing that's missing this week, and that's my gambling segment. Mike Steph must have bumped his mother effing head, aka my gambling picks for the week. And you want to know why I'm abstaining from talking about that dreck in which I picked? Because Mike Steph is on a what? This is week six? So I'm on a six-week losing streak. I have yet to turn a profit in any of my bets for the first 6 weeks of the season. Albeit, it's because I've been stubborn and been trying to do parlays for the last 6 weeks instead of just saying, you know what? I'm going to pick these two games and I'm going to let it ride on here. But being the fact that I'm in such good spirits because of my New York Jets and their victory this week, I said, you know what? I'm not going to bore the masses with my losses. I'm not going to bore the masses with my pain. I'm not going to bore the masses with my misery. I'm going to keep on flying high up in the sky. Is it a bird? It's a plane. No, it's Mike Steph and rapidly losing his balance out of DraftKings sportsbook. Yeah, so that brings us to the end of another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast. I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me the podcast y'all choose to view and the podcast y'all choose to listen to. Next week will be a bye week for my New York Jets, that actually opened up the avenues of topic that I'm going to talk about. As I said in the intro, I refrain from talking about Jada Pinkett and her media tour and her disparagement of her still current husband, her still current spouse, Will Smith, on his fucking media tour for this damn book until next week. Because I'm quite sure, like I said, she'll open the spout and more garbage will come filtering out of it. Matter of fact, unfiltered garbage, unfiltered sludge, unfiltered contamination will come out her spout along with whatever. Anyway, that will be on tap next week. I will give, matter of fact, yeah. You know, in this new incarnation of the podcast, I used to have, when it was Saucy Doors to Donnie, ooh, I used to have, Donnie's half-ass NBA preview, or Donnie's half-ass NFL preview, and all that other crap. NBA regular season is just around the corner. I believe it starts on the, what is that? 25th? Yeah. I think it starts on the 24th or the 25th. So, being the fact I have a bye week with my football, I won't give an NBA preview, but I will give my thoughts on the upcoming New York Knickerbocker season and my thoughts on the upcoming Golden State Warriors season. So, yeah. So, next week will be Jada Pinkett and her bullshit, and a preview of the Knickerbocker / Warriors regular season in the NBA. That will be on deck next week. Oh, shoot. Look at that time. I made this shit truncated like a mother effer because I'm starving. Also, because I'm trying to see something. But yeah. Don't forget, Hidden Gems Football, hosted by the Mojo King and me, Mike Steph. Each and every Thursday, new episodes drop on the YouTube page of the 19 Media Group and on all, and as I said, all streaming platforms forever, podcasts all available. And the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast is available on the following platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. New episodes drop on Wednesdays. On the social medias, you can check me at Mike Steffens _ on X, formerly known as Twitter. On the gram at Mike _ Steph. And on TikTok at Mike Steph _. Yeah. One quick thing. Matter of fact, don't worry about that one thing, because it's not really important, because I'm actually trying to get out of here before the 65-minute mark. I think this would probably be my shortest full-fledged episode ever. So, yeah. So, like I said, thanks again for everybody choosing me to be the one y'all choose to view and listen to. And I will see y'all next week. Same Mike Steph time. Same Mike Steph channel and same Mike Steph day, because this face, oh damn, I'm really not a conceited person, but sometimes I mesmerize myself when I look at the monitor so long and I just see this handsomeness just reflecting back on me, and I just lose my train of thought because I'm just that dashing. So with all that being said, I'll see y'all next week. Be easy. Goodbye. Damn. This is... How can one man be so fucking handsome? Oh, shit. I'm still recording. Did y'all hear that? Y'all didn't hear that, right? I guess y'all did. Well, I wasn't lying. I'm just speaking the truth. So I'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Say, take your